Now broadcasting from the Next Gen Conservative Studio in sunny South Florida. Bringing you the latest in politics, current events, and pop culture. This is the Whitfield Report with Sam Whitfield.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of the show. I want to thank you so very much for joining me. Whenever you're turning into this podcast in the past, present, future hour. And before we get started with the show, I want to thank Max Sand of the Cringe Copy House for filling in for me this past Saturday. And kind of doing a quasi Whitfield Report show over on his channel on the Cringe Copy House. And if you did tune into that episode, you obviously know that I did tune in for a brief period of time when I was on vacation in Orlando. For those of you who don't know, I took this past weekend off for my birthday weekend, and I celebrated my birthday weekend with my family in Orlando. Well, actually in Cocoa Beach, and we went to the Kennedy Space Center and had a really fun time there. Really incredible to see, everything that we have done as a nation as far as space exploration goes. And I know we have a few people that, in our audience that may or may not believe that the moon landing was real fake. And, we can do that on another podcast at another time. But regardless, the Kennedy Space Center was amazing. Very impressive, place they've got going over there. And the people who run the Kennedy Space Center, it's a private group, I know that. And they seem to really take pride in maintaining that place. And, it was a really good, I had a real good time there. And Cocoa Beach in and of itself was just really fun. Great beaches. So if you're ever in Florida, I would highly recommend going to the Kennedy Space Center. It is worth the visit, and it is worth it's worth taking a full weekend and 2 days to really explore that place, and you'll have a good time. But anyway, like I said, I want to thank Max Sand for filling in for me on Saturday. Always fun, to hear his take on things, and he did a great job. And with that being said, last week, ladies and gentlemen, there was a breaking news story that happened right as I was getting ready to kind of go on vacation. And it kind of figures that this happens because it always does happen when I'm about to go on vacation. Some breaking news story that would have been perfect for me to cover live on the channel happened when I was, getting ready to go out of town and unable to jump on a live stream to, give my comments on. But, as most of you probably know by now, Steven Crowder, I guess, has come out and admitted that he has some problems with Ben Shapiro and the Daily Wire. He left The Blaze and CRTV at the end of last year, and I guess has been trouble finding, he's been having trouble finding a home or another network to partner with, which is kind of weird in of itself, and I'll explain why here in a bit. But evidently he, was in talks with the Daily Wire to sign a deal to carry his program, and They made some questionable demands in his eyes, and so he not only declined the offer, but he then, I guess, went on to expose not just the contract antics of the Daily Wire themselves, but kind of the ins and outs of the conservative media business as a whole and whatnot. And that's what we're going to talk about a bit tonight. There's a lot that I have to say about this. I'm going to try and keep this podcast, at least this episode, under an hour to really try and explain it, because there is a lot to cover here. But I do have some things to say about this, because believe it or not, I too have had offers to take the Whitfield Report, or in some iterations of the show, the Whitfield Analysis, to bigger platforms and, merge with bigger networks, much bigger networks. And basically have the potential to become a conservative celebrity, basically. And for various reasons that has not happened, obviously. I still have a channel that's under 1,000 subscribers. My podcast, it gets a couple, 1,000 listens a month. Not bad, but not like big time, celebrity numbers either. And the one question I always get, especially from the from some of the A-logs out there, is, "Well, Sam, you've been doing this for, you've been doing this since you were a teenager. Why aren't you more famous?" And folks, this may be a bit cliche, but essentially the reason why I'm not as big as, say, a Ben Shapiro or a Charlie Kirk or someone like that, even though for as long as I've been in the game, I maybe should be, is because I have refused to play the game of basically big, conservative media. And yes, folks, big press or big media or whatever you want to call it does exist on both sides of the aisle. I've had to deal with them. I've had friends who have had to deal with them. And I will tell you this right off the bat. I can't really speak to, Steven Crowder's situation. I have my opinions about Steven Crowder. I think a lot of what he said in that interview with Tim Pool last night made a lot of sense. And a lot of his gripes with the Daily Wire are legit. And he is right that there is that there is kind of an upper echelon. There is a group of conservatives that are kind of gatekeeping the conservative media sphere, so to speak. And I'm not going to go too much into Steven Crowder's whole thing. My opinion on Crowder is mixed, because I really when Steven Crowder started out doing Louder with Crowder, I did like his content. I thought, he might not have been my brand of comedy, but he made some good points. He can be entertaining, and whatnot. But basically, as the show grew, because I started listening to Louder with Crowder in 2014. And what some people might not know is when Louder with Crowder first started, it was a radio show turned into a podcast that he did, out like a local radio station in Detroit, I believe. And then like around late 2014, early 2015, that was when YouTube started to roll out his live stream, and that was when Louder with Crowder went into video, and it became a whole thing. Everyone started doing video podcasting then, and that was really when I made the move from Spreaker to YouTube. And started, that was when I rebranded the Whitfield Analysis as the Whitfield Report in 2015. And, here we are all these years later, right? So I have had, like I said, I've had mixed emotions on Steven Crowder. I guess my biggest gripe with Steven Crowder is, basically, once he grew into the juggernaut podcast that he was, and took the deal with the Blaze, prior to him taking that deal and whatnot, I was actually personal friends with Steven on Facebook. And, at one point, I was in a private Facebook group for Louder with Crowder, which was basically tasked with promoting Louder with Crowder back when it was still back when it was still a completely independent show. And so, we would basically, be asked, tweet out the show, share it with your friends, basically word of mouth. And so we did that for a while. And then Steven went into the Blaze and we were all happy for him. And I remember at one point, I had asked Steven Crowder if he would do my podcast. And initially, before the deal with the Blaze was made, he said yes, and we were going to work out a deal, with him coming on the show and all that. But then basically once the whole CRTB Louder with Crowder deal became apparent, there was one section of an episode that he did where he said, "Hey, we've been getting a lot of requests to do, podcasts." And he basically said, "We can't afford to, we can't go on every single small time, podcast out there, or every small time YouTube channel out there. We can't do it." And it was just the way he said it that was kind of, it kind of came off as "I'm holier than thou and I don't have time for you" kind of snarky attitude. That just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And I'll be honest, that's a big part of the reason why I'm not such a big fan of, Crowder's as much anymore. I mean, yeah, it may seem kind of a bit petty, but like I said, this was someone whose podcast, I had kind of, you know, helped to promote when it was still completely independent from the ground up. You know, obviously I did realize that once he was, you know, that once he made the big time, it was going to be harder to, keep in touch with him and whatnot and to get his attention. But for me to, you know, ask him to come onto the show or invite him onto the show, and then for him to make that, you know, comment in the way he did, that, hey, we don't have time for every single small podcaster that invites us on our show. That just really rubbed me the wrong way. It, you know, it's a minor thing, but I think it just goes to show that fame and whatnot can really affect people, right? And so that's kind of my experience with Steven Crowder. I mean, as far as the whole rumors that he's gay, or, you know, well, there was a rumor that he didn't want to have kids for a while, and then obviously he had kids, so clearly that myth, you know, got debunked. But like all that stuff that was put out there, mostly by Owen Benjamin, I would like to point out, was proven not to be true. That I'm not going to get into, because, you know, as far as like his personal life goes, you know, who knows? We all have our issues. You know, I hope he's doing well as far as health goes. But, you know, like as far as my interactions go with him, they've been very lukewarm at best. Let me just put it that way. But, you know, when he came out and said that he's leaving the Blaze and CRTV, and that he made, you know, that he's been in talks with all these organizations to pick up his show, and they've all come back with like really bad contract deals. I empathize with him in a sense. And this is really the meat and potatoes of the program that I want to get to tonight, folks. A lot of what I'm going to be saying is based off of my own experience. And all of this was based off of word of mouth conversations. I do not have receipts for these. And all of what I'm also going to talk about is speculation and, you know, info that I've heard from other people kind of regarding how Big Con works and whatnot. But essentially, folks, there have been a few times when I have been doing the show, when I've been doing the Whitfield Report, and I have had much bigger groups of basically, like, you know, conservative media groups offering to pick up this show, and in their words, not mine, make me, you know, the next big conservative voice, quote unquote. Now, let me just kind of break this down, okay? One of the things that I firmly believe as a podcaster is that if you independently start a podcast, right, you put all your energy into it, you put the work in to create content, get guests, you know, schedule shows, etc. That is your content. You've created it. You've done the vast majority of production work on it. that is your thing and you own that, right? That was one of the appeals of podcasting in the beginning, was that, you know, basically no matter what genre you're into, no matter how many listeners and or viewers you have on said podcast, if you're producing independently, the show is yours, right? Well, I had some pretty big names in conservative media from the time I was about 18 all the way up until about 2017. I've had offers, ladies and gentlemen, for bigger podcast networks to basically buy out the Whitfield Report and hire me on as a, you know, as a show host on the networks. And some of these are, you know, big names that you would recognize. But in almost every circumstance, people have wanted to buy the brand of the Whitfield Report and basically have complete ownership of this show, of the Whitfield Report. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this may be an area where I come off as arrogant or prideful or whatever you want to call it, but I started podcasting when I was 13 years old. Yes, this show has had rebrands over the years. And yes, I have had different topics and guests and whatnot. But for a lack of, you know, but at the end of the day, for lack of a better term, I own this program and all its iterations pretty much outright. It's mine. And you know, I'm proud of it, especially considering that I started this show so young. And yet, I've had other groups basically prepared, you know, offered to buy out from me. To not only hire me to, you know, create content for their site, but to also buy the rights to this show. Well, what's the problem with that, folks? The problem is, quite frankly, is if I sell, you know, if I were to merge with a network, right? And you know, become an employee of theirs and basically give them the branding of the Whitfield Report, theoretically, it's no longer my program. Theoretically, they could, you know, tell me what I needed to do as far as content goes. They could basically dictate the terms of the show, and God forbid, they could, you know, terminate me or dismiss me somehow, and I would be, not only would I be out of a job or out of a show, but they would own rights to a show that I had taken years to build before I even knew these conservative content creators. And I knew that going in. So when a couple of these, you know, bigger conservative podcasts / radio networks, you know, made the offer to pay me a lot of money, but to have absolute control over the show, I basically, you know, said, no, I will remain independent. Now, there have been a few instances where I have merged with bigger podcast networks and have had great success. They're now defunct, but as some of you may remember, back when I was a senior in high school, junior and senior of high school, so about 2012, 2013, I was part of a podcast network called Junior Factor Nation. And, you know, it was made up of a couple other young conservative podcasters like myself. And the guy who ran that network, Jason Veeley, he's been on the show before a few times. You know, Jason and I, we had our ups and downs, you know, in the past. But overall, he's a terrific guy. And one of the things I always liked about him was when I joined that network, he basically said, hey, man, you know, just bring your own content and do your own thing. And the only thing he really asked me was that I try not to swear too much or say too many vulgar things on the podcast. But other than that, he basically gave me free rein and complete and total autonomy to do, you know, the show the way I wanted. And that was terrific. And his show was great. My show was great. Some of the best episodes I've ever done are still when I was with Junior Factor Nation. You know, at the end of the, like, even when I left Junior Factor Nation, he basically offered to let me, you know, download the episodes that I had recorded and broadcast while I was on Junior Factor Nation. Right? Very generous. He could have said, I own the Whitfield Analysis now completely. Sorry, you're on your own. But he didn't do that. He basically allowed me to keep all my old show, you know, episodes. And I haven't uploaded any of the old ones, but who knows? Maybe I will, you know, someday. But irregardless, I'm not saying that every, you know, conservative contract is bad, but there were other contracts out there, and this does happen a lot, where basically you will get signed on to host a show, but you have no creative say in what you do on that show. The producers pick the guests for you, and they basically tell you what ads you're going to, you know, read, and, you know, what topics you can and not cannot cover. And they basically set parameters for you in some of these bigger podcast networks. And I just don't believe in that at all, folks. I mean, I do believe that contracts, you know, should be honored to a certain extent. If a, you know, if an organization is offering you a spot on their podcast network and you want to create content for them, I can understand they might, you know, say something like, well, you know, you can't say the N word or whatnot, or we want to keep this, you know, family friendly or what have you. But as far as creative, you know, content goes, I think that for the most part, hosts should have complete autonomy over their, you know, ability to create content. And obviously, this is not the case in, you know, big in big conservative media, and this is a big problem. I'm an example. I turned down money because of that. Back in 2015, there were a couple of, podcast networks out there that were very successful at the time that wanted to bring me on as kind of their young, next generation, of conservative talent, right? But around 2015, that was when Donald Trump was, becoming a big figure in the conservative movement. And, there were a lot of quote unquote conservatives out there that ended up going Never Trump. And not only that, folks, but they also had the mindset of, well, if you're Never Trump, well, if you vote, pro-Trump or you support Trump or you actively want to have, promote Trump messaging, or if you're even open to the idea of voting for Trump, we can have you on our network, right? So there was a lot of gatekeeping early on against, Trump supporters from some of the establishment conservative, branding and conservative podcasts, right? By the same token, there were other groups out there who wanted you to be on the Trump train 24/7. And if you said anything critical about Trump, well, then you were off of, the network. And between 2015 and really 2020, this kind of went on for a long period of time. And so really around 2017, I was just like, I'm going to go completely independent. I'd like, to be able to monetize and make more money on the podcast, but having the rights to my own content is more, valuable than having a large bank account is. And I still believe that, ladies and gentlemen. I still believe that content ownership is a key part of what makes podcasting a unique and special medium. I'm not opposed to anyone signing contracts, but I think a lot of people, especially in, big conservative media, they sign contracts without really realizing what the terms are, per se, right? And it's a big problem, and I think that's what Steven Crowder is dealing with somewhat. And there are a lot of other conservatives out there dealing with the same thing. And I have had to deal with some of that myself. Now, there's a lot more I do want to cover on this topic, but for time reasons and whatnot, and also due to some of the more sensitive parts of this topic, I think I'm going to end the show here for today, and I will be back on Thursday for part two of this discussion. So this is kind of a primer. But anyway, from all of us here at NGC Studios, have a good day or good evening whenever you're listening to this program. God bless, God save this great nation, and God and freedom legacy in that order.
Thanks for listening to The Whitfield Report on the NGC Network. Please visit Sam's website at www.thesamwhitfield.com and support Sam on Patreon at patreon.com/Whitfield Report. Until next time, God bless. God save this great nation, and God, freedom, legacy, in that order.